Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Please join me.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
Hello, hello, this is Asha, and you are listening to What is Love on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am guest hosting for today for Sasha Sugar, your usual host. She is in South America, traveling, living her best life. And I'm in the studio today with two very special guests who I'm going to have introduce themselves and tell you all a little bit about what they do. Melissa?
Hi, I'm Melissa Madera. I'm one of the co-owners of Catland Books in Bushwick. I don't know, what else is there to say? We do tons of witchcraft and community programming. We do a lot of like spiritual community events and that sort of thing.
What is your witchy specialty?
Oh, that's hard to say. I guess you would say I'm sort of the herb witch of our house. I do a lot of our apothecary programming and our herbal education.
Cool, cool, cool. Mm-hmm. And Kevin?
Hi, my name is Kevin Pellerin. I run the Terror Society Gallery and Reading Room here in Bushwick. And my specialty is tarot readings and tarot education. And I'd say I'm like a kitchen witch too.
A kitchen witch?
Yeah.
What does that entail?
Like food. Food is magic.
Food is magic.
Food is so magic.
I want to talk about that. I didn't know that you had this specialty. For me, if we're going to talk about what is love, which is the theme of our show, love is food. Like, food is my first love.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. So today we're going to talk about love and magic. We're going to talk about using the occult, using tarot and other witchiness to guide yourself through finding and keeping and sometimes discarding love in your life. But first, because this is just an area I'm interested in, I'm curious how each of you got involved in magic. When how did your life bring you to that?
So my story is kind of like long and winding. I was a robotics engineer for a long time, and then I was a pastry chef for several years in New York City and surrounding areas. And then I was briefly an investor in sort of like occult projects happening in Brooklyn. I was very interested in like building a cult community and sort of like getting involved in those sorts of spaces. And when the previous owners of Catland decided to step down, they asked me if I kind of wanted the shop, and I said yes.
How did you find them? You were just involved in Catland before?
I found them through, I think, a Tarot Society event, actually, at what was then Body Actualized Center.
Cool.
I met Molly Burkett, who is now a very, very well-known tarot reader. She's an incredible lady.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of just strolled in one like snowy evening when my life was falling apart. And I remember Joe Peterson was one of the old owners who was there. And he was like, "Do you need help with anything?" And I was like, well, I need help with lots of stuff.
With my life.
And he sort of sat me down and gave me the whole bit. And then I was there every day for like 8 hours a day knitting for like the next 6 months.
Right. Knitting. Got it. Cool. Sounds very auspicious, like a really auspicious meetup run.
Totally faded, yeah.
What about you, Kevin? How did you come to start reading tarot?
Tarot specifically, so in 2013, my partner Darcy Leonard and I started a event called Tarot Society.
Mm-hmm.
And we started it as an event, like a nightlife event that didn't revolve around drinking and getting wasted.
Yeah.
And we wanted it to be something about how people can find community, talk about real things, talk about their real lives. And we happened to know some tarot readers and people that were into that, and started an event at various spaces around Bushwick. We really got our start at this place called Body Actualized Center, which is no longer, which is sad.
Rest in peace.
I know, it was so nice. We had about 8 to 10 tarot readers and astrologers in a big room, and it was a nice social event. And I didn't read tarot at all back then, although I was interested in it. And I would get readings. I talked to people, you know, every week. And I remember one reading, astrology reading, with somebody who looked at my chart and was basically like, "Why aren't you doing this? Like, what is your problem?" And I was just like, "Okay, I'll do it." And so I picked up my first deck, started learning myself, and then I took this very long, intensive tarot symbolism class on the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot that kind of just launched me into this world. And I just jumped in. I really think the best way to learn tarot is to do it for strangers and just really just dive in and make mistakes, and then you'll never forget that card again, you know? And doing it, you know, professionally really just ups the stakes for yourself.
Yeah, so, jumping in the deep end.
For sure.
Getting paid to do something that you just learned. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that you have kind of a shared path toward this interest and this part of your life. Seems like the Bushwick, Brooklyn occult community is a little bit of a small world.
Totally.
Which, for our listeners' information, I am totally new to. I am just starting to dabble in my interest in this world. So Kevin and Melissa are my guides today. If I say anything wrong, don't be angry. So you guys know my like gateway drug, I'd say, has been astrology, which was sort of new to me, but also like a really easy thing to dive headfirst into. Like,
oh, totally.
Wow, there's just so much information.
Mm-hmm.
So much learning about myself recently, and I know each of you are interested in astrology too, so if we want to sprinkle any of that in here, I'd be really excited about that. Guys, if you want to call in and ask any of your tarot, witchcraft, occult questions, Radio Free Brooklyn is at 718-928-9732. 718-928-9732. Again, this is Asha on What is Love, subbing for Sasha Sugar. And yeah, guys, let's get into it. So the first thing I'm curious about is the use of magic, tarot, divination, what have you, for finding and attracting love, romantic and otherwise. And I think in some ways that means making yourself more attractive to the world. Sometimes that means attracting what's best for you and what kind of love and romance you need in your life at any given time. So I'm wondering what rituals you guys recommend, what rituals, how tarot can help, how divination can help when you're in that phase of your life. Thoughts?
Well, I think that, we had kind of talked about this briefly, the idea that, you know, tarot and divination and practical ritual are sort of two sides of the same coin in answering that question. I think that it's tarot can be a great tool for figuring out what sort of love is actually good for you right now, or what sort of things that you should go after. Especially when it's often the case in terms of love that the things you want and the things that you need are very different. So tarot can sort of help you suss those things out and decide, you know, what sort of direction you want to take your love life in. And then from there comes practical applications where you make sure that you attract the kind of love that works for you.
Do you have any tips for doing that?
The practical
any rituals? Once you've learned, how do you think you can enact?
Sure.
Manifest. So,
some of the favorite things that I like to do for that, I like to charge talismans for particular romantic games. Like, let's say I'm fresh out of a breakup and I'm trying to just sort of like meet a bunch of different people and like be the like romantic butterfly and all that. I would like charge a necklace or a piece of jewelry that I have that I wear only when I go out to meet people like that, to make sure that like that kind of like healthy, consensual, but like very carefree romance is what's attracted to me.
What kind of, do you have any talismans in your life? Are you okay to share that?
Totally. I mean, a lot of people in the community will use like crystal necklaces that sort of like associate with that kind of aim. For me, I like to just use jewelry that I have, and then that jewelry piece becomes that thing. So I've got like certain chokers that I'll only wear when I go out and that sort of thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Kevin?
Yeah. So as far as like that, like attracting love, you know, in readings, I like to talk about how to rephrase the question that you're asking the tarot, either for yourself or if you're reading for somebody else, that they come to you with a question of how do I find the boyfriend, you know? And the question can be reframed as like, not how do I find that person, but how can I make myself, you touched on this too, like how to be more attractive. You know, what can I change in myself to make sure that I am attracting love in the first place, you know? And, you know, if you're, you know, Tinder bio is, I won't text you, haha. You know, I was like, well, maybe you're putting that out in the world. So you can do very,
it's like
very
a bad practical policy. Thing.
But I mean, as far as like charging talismans, I mean, that's not really my personal practice, but I think, you know, making altars in your home, like making like Venus, Aphrodite altars, you know, like making sure that you are like, you know, in ingratiating yourself to love spirits, to love goddess especially.
Yeah.
You know? You know, I do like tarot meditations too, where, you know, taking a card and meditating on it that, you know, seems to be, you know, love oriented, you know, like Two of Cups or something like that, you know, a very like love card, depending on what kind of love you're after. If you want like a new love, then Two of Cups, sure. If you're like aiming for like marriage, maybe Ten of Cups, and just kind of carry that with you and meditate on that, and have that be in your consciousness at all times.
That's great. Do you, for tarot meditation, do you have a ritual you perform around that, or is it kind of a more quiet, you can just keep it with you and reflect on it?
My personal view on ritual is that it's a personal thing, and that you, as long as you're approaching your personal ritual with humility and and gratitude and attention, that you know whatever you're doing will work for you that way. But yeah, I have my little altars.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
There.
I think that any practice, spiritual or otherwise, has to be personal. You have to believe that it's working. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's probably not working. Cool. Well, I think we talked a little bit before the show about love magic, and that might be the first thing that comes to mind when the listener hears that we have two people who are interested in magic on the show, but our guests today have some thoughts on love magic and its history and its use that I thought were really interesting. So let's talk about that for a minute. Love magic. First, what is it? What is that?
Oh, the use of like magical means, practical or like personal to get love, maintain love, get rid of love, anything sort of having to do with that area, I would call love magic. I would say that magic usually pertains to like doing something practical to affect practical change in your life.
Mm-hmm. Great definition. Mm-hmm. Very thorough. So the use of love magic, one might consider what we just talked about of auspiciously attracting the right energy to yourself as love magic. But I think the way that I'm interested in talking about it right now is that targeted use. Mm. And is that a practice, you guys?
Targeted use towards someone else.
Yeah, is that a practice that we feel good about in this room?
It's not really a practice that I engage in, yeah. but it is a use for sure. It's definitely, there's a lot out there about, you know, there's a million candles you can go buy and products,
oh,
you know,
for everything you want to do, for anything, world, you know, there's a million candles
you can get, you know, penis shaped candles and yeah. you know, mm-hmm. vulva shaped candles and, you know, burn those depending on what you want. I tend to like lean on the side of like inward directed magic rather than outward affecting change kind of magic where the effects come from within, that you're changing yourself to become the person that you want to be in a relationship rather than like changing somebody else to be attracted to you, because maybe you're not quite, you know, on the level, you know, mm-hmm. it's like maybe you're not in good working order yet, you know,
yeah.
as Jan Savage mm-hmm. says, you know, you gotta make sure you're in good working order for somebody else to want to be with you. So using ritual, magic, and meditation to work on yourself is, well, you know, personally how I would approach things rather than, but you know, not to say I haven't done those other things too.
I've cast a few spells in my day. I love that. That's funny. Melissa, what do you think? What are your thoughts on the use of love magic?
Yeah. Well, we had sort of talked about the consent question earlier, mm-hmm. all three of us, that sort of comes up when you're talking about, let's say, I'm in love with Jeff. Jeff has no idea. I'm going to do...
so dreamy.
Yeah, whatever, yeah, generic white boy Jeff.
Yeah.
I'm in love with generic white boy Jeff because he listens to Three Doors Down and that's really attractive to me. and I'm going to try to seduce him via magic. You run into the question of, is this something that's consensual? Is it something that's healthy? When the person doesn't know that you're acting on them. It's something that you can do. Its effectiveness and its morality are going to be affected by whether or not this person is consensually engaging in this as well.
Yeah, sounds like
kind of an interesting gray area. I don't know how I feel about it. I've definitely been guilty of that before, and I've had it backfire just spectacularly.
I think that's a good segue into the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is using magic. You know, most of us in this world are in some sort of partnership. A romantic partnership, a partnership with a friend, a domestic partner, a parent. And we're not often in a phase where we're looking for a new one. I think the general practice is like most of the work we do in love is to maintain it. So magic, therefore, is also, you know, something that you mostly would want to use to continue building yourself with. And Melissa, you and I talked a little bit about the use of magic to continue making yourself the best person to love once you've found someone to love. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And then my first thought from the conversation we just had is, if you cast a spell on someone to love you, that's the easy part. Getting someone to start loving you is the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
Building a life with someone, building a life with multiple people, that's the hard part. So I would love to talk a little bit about magic and ritual and what people should do who are looking to maintain their loves.
Well, as far as love maintenance goes, I'm kind of the opinion that if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? So I think that like love magic is something that I use in my personal relationship. If we start to like not spend as much time together as we used to, or if things need a little pick me up, I like to use the tarot as sort of an indicator for checking myself in those situations and seeing, you know, am I being the best partner that I can be? Is there a problem that's going on between us right now, or am I just being anxious? Who's the problem with? Is it them? Is it me? Is it us? You know, what sort of what's going on? Mm-hmm. And then from there, I mean, I'm about to get, I just got engaged, so I'm about to get married. So there's plenty of like pre-wedding stuff that we've been doing. You can take ritual baths together. You can like ritualize sort of like things that you do together around the house. You can carve candles together if that's a thing that you do. We wash our sheets in like love associated herbs and things like that. So aww, we always keep the bed as like our space.
Yeah.
And that's like our happy little love nest.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I think having a home that you feel is auspicious mm-hmm. seems like the greatest first step.
Yeah.
For me, you know, yeah, everyone loves getting together with somebody the first month or so, and it's great, but like how to maintain it over time, I personally think it comes all down to communication, and that yeah. is really like, I mean, everything else is about magic, but it has nothing to do with magic. It's just like, how do you talk to each other? How do you work it out? And but I think, you know, what you can do to help that is through astrology, and that's where I like to... doing like a synastry chart where you like compare two charts with two different people to see how they work together can be really helpful. Knowing like say like comparing your Mercuries, you know where your Mercuries are, and because that's how you communicate, you know. And so to see where those two are and to see, you know, how they can line up, and like if they're, you know, have, you know, they're opposed or mm-hmm. have some hard aspects to them or something, you like, at least you know how to like work around it. And which is what usually yeah, ask somebody what their birth chart is like the first date, you know.
Yeah.
So you can figure
I'm
it out.
I'm online dating now and I'm like, can I ask you what time you were born?
Yeah, it's yeah, like, that's no, like you first, have to. First date material.
This
for sure.
Is a total tangent, but here's the thing. My parents can't agree on what time I was born. They disagree. So it's not like they don't know.
Is
not
it
on my birth
different?
Certificate. Yeah. Oh. My mom said it was in the morning. My dad said it was in like the late afternoon. And that's I remember growing up that they told me it was 3 p.m. So I'm going with that one. Because why else would I remember a time that I was born? But I'm actually going through this whole process of like finding... it doesn't say it on my birth certificate, but in the state of Florida, you can request a more detailed birth certificate. So I'm trying that.
Oh, good.
It's like my last-ditch effort.
The doctor will call it, you know?
Yeah.
Stamp, you know?
Yeah, let's hope. So that's been a major blocker for me in my life recently, not knowing my birth time.
Wow.
Can you guess? Can people guess?
There's ways to rectify a chart that it's kind of a complicated involved process, but you can figure it out like depending on like different degrees of different things, you know. You can kind of see which ones match up more closely to how you feel,
right.
How you align yourself. But you know, it's a really skilled astrologer could do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
cool.
That bad astrologer, but
I know you're not experts, but you mentioned Mercury. Mm-hmm. How your Mercury is aligned. Are there any other areas of the charts that you find to be really useful in this way?
Sure, Venus, absolutely.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. What do your Venus alignments tell you?
How you love.
Yeah, how you love, how you receive love, and how you express it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about Mars?
Oh, that's how you do sex.
Yeah.
Well, and also how you fight.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
it's funny that those are ruled by the same planet.
You know, working out like any couple that tells me they'd never fight, I just straight up don't believe them ever. Because you always will. You will, but even if it's just like a tiny squabble, you will fight. And it's like learning how to fight.
Oh yeah, that's
is really, really important. And how you can get out of it.
Right.
And if you're not really on the same page about how you communicate, especially in a heated way like that, it's gonna go awry.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
Totally.
And so like, yeah, I mean, you have to look at everything really. I mean, but certainly, you know, Venus. Moons for sure.
Oh yeah,
like Jupiter too. You know, like a Jupiter opposition between two charts can be like really. You know, it's because Jupiter is expanding everything around it, so it's like that can be a really fun, you know, tension to play with. Where it's like you want to just do everything together, you know. So yeah, Jupiter oppositions are good, and like Venus. You know, yeah, all the things really.
All of it.
It all matters.
I was just so now we're getting to the part of the show where I talk about me. So the reason why I became, I guess, interested in astrology and why I was interested in having these tarot experts on the show is that I just went through a breakup. What is Love with Sasha Sugar is about love, romantic and otherwise, but I told her What is Love with Asha is going to be about heartbreak. Because I did just go through a breakup, and our Marses were, we fought a lot. We were a couple, at the first year of our relationship, I was like, this is great, we're learning how to fight. And then it died down a little bit. I was like, this is because we know how to fight, we're great. But then I realized that fighting's exhausting, and just because you know how doesn't ever make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, from now on, my first question on the dating app, my first question at the first date is gonna be, where's your Mars at?
So what were you guys' two Mars signs?
Find out.
Well, I don't know how mine is affected by my birthday. If it's radically different,
okay.
But mine is in Gemini.
And his?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. This. Interest has taken hold mostly since this relationship.
Okay.
Ended.
Mars and Gemini is interesting. Do you just find like emotions very inconvenient?
A little bit. I also, I love to talk things out when there's conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love to like talk and talk and talk and like achieve consensus. And even once we've achieved consensus, I find myself being like, but still, let's keep talking about it.
What's your sun sign?
Sagittarius.
Nice.
Lots of talking.
Lots of talking.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot you were Sagittarius. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Sagittarius, and then my rising sign is in hot dispute,
Depending
on who you ask. But my moon is Aries.
That's why you fight.
That's why you like fighting. Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And then my Mars in Gemini is why I like talking about it.
Oh, wow. So sounds like someone who, like a romantic partner who would want to like retreat during a fight would be like super frustrating for you.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
You gotta have somebody who wants to engage.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
My best friend is going through a breakup. She's a Gemini. She's okay. The person she's breaking up with is a retreater. He'll like take a nap in the middle of a fight. And I'm like, I'm more angry at him than you are.
Yeah. I'm not really a fighter.
I have some of that in my relationship right now where I'm the one who wants to like talk about it until it's done and like completely burn it out. And he's the one who's like, I want to take a walk and then come back and apologize and not discuss. but we managed to make it work. But the nice thing about approaching a relationship through the astrological lens is that you can be prepared and sort of know each other's love languages and know what to expect of how your partner is going to react, and then know that this is like an integral part of them that is not going to change, and it's not just them acting out. It's
totally,
yeah, who they
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
The love language thing is real. Oh, sorry. Oh,
no, go ahead.
No, that's totally legit.
The love language thing is totally legit, I think. Do you know about the five love languages? Yeah. So the five love languages, what are they? It's like physical touch.
Gift giving.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation and
acts of service.
Acts of service.
And then there's one more. Clearly that's not
physical.
Ours.
Physical gifts, words of affirmation.
dang.
We could probably look this up on,
on
an internet.
Some other day.
but you know, like how you choose your love languages, you know, probably most likely relates somehow to your astrology.
Totally.
Absolutely.
You know? If your love languages aren't compatible, it's going to be a challenge.
And you can have different love languages for how you give love and how you receive love.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, completely.
Okay, we have to look this up.
Okay.
How do we not know this?
But there's so many other things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think astrology for me has been ultimately an exercise in self-acceptance. Like sometimes if you're in a relationship and you don't match up, if there's something about you that conflicts with your partner's nature, you can feel bad about that. You can be like, oh, this part of me is unruly and I need to change it or fix it. But when you think about it through the lens of astrology, you're sort of like, nope, this is just how I am. Like, this is what I'm going to be like. And if it conflicts with how you are, that's fine. And maybe that this partnership has run its course, but there's no changing it. Or there's only changing it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great way to look at it.
You are who you are at a certain point, you know, and it's not to say, you can't work on yourself. But I mean, like astrology is, you know, and is and all these kind of systems that look at like your personality. It's like there's always spectrum. And it's like tarot, you know, there's an upright version of the card, which is its most exalted, most, you know, natural position. And there's like, you know, it could be the reverse too, which is it's the same card, but it's in detriment. It's like the lesser version of the card. And you can like work on yourself. You look at yourself and aspects of your personality in the same way where, you know, you can be like a really healthy Virgo, say, is, you know, very, you know, in service to others and is very exacting and everything's neat and like every, you know, very particular, but like can get stuff done. A Virgo in detriment is going to be annoying and it's going to be very like nitpicky and judgy,
controlling.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same kind of qualities, just not worked on. So you can refine yourself, you know, in that aspect to be the better qualities of that sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and that's true of every sign, and it's true in on a spectrum for mm-hmm. everyone.
Yeah. No, I really like that logic a lot.
Yeah. I just spent some time with a Virgo this past week, and he described himself exactly that way. I was like, do you know much about astrology? Okay, words of affirmation.
Oh, Virgo rising.
Quality time.
Quality time.
Clearly.
Clearly, yeah.
Need to work on.
What New Yorker can afford a quality time?
Yeah, like, that has to be the last.
It's always
all
the challenge.
Do we want to talk about our love languages?
Personally?
Yeah. Are we coming
Do I want you
that?
To see me like that?
Are you a Gemini who likes words of affirmation? Do you give words of affirmation?
No, because I struggle to have feelings in the presence of others. That's a Gemini thing.
Oh, interesting. I also experienced that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't like to, I don't like other people to see me like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like gift giving and acts of service. Those are my thing. If I really, really like you, I will, you know, do your laundry or make Aww. You dinner or something like that.
Yeah.
I suck at presents, but my fiance is, his love language is gift giving. Like, he'll come home with flowers, chocolate, everything.
That's
and I'll like forget
one.
When his birthday is. And like, but the laundry's done.
Scorpio yeah. season.
I'm a notoriously bad gift giver, but acts of service, a physical touch is really my main thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's, I can be fine not talking with somebody and just touching, you know. And I mean, I think I would like to receive acts of service. That means a lot to me just because I'm busy. And if somebody can like offer to like take one thing off my plate
yeah.
just for like a minute, that is, I'll love you forever.
In the New Yorker world, you mentioned how quality time is so difficult. I feel like in New York currency, acts of service is like the nicest one. Like, New Yorkers don't necessarily go out of their way to do stuff for each other. Like, you don't have partners being like, oh yeah, I'll go pick up your dry cleaning or I'll come get you from the airport. That is like...
If you find someone like that, you hold on to them. It's
totally.
Like a desert.
And that's why you should tip your delivery person.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot.
This is a tangent, but I feel like the whole economy of New York is built around like just stuff that neighbors do for each other outside of New York. Bring you home some, go borrow some sugar. Like, no, here you need a delivery man to bring you
yes,
the sugar.
Yes, absolutely. We like outsource that whole part
yes.
of our, there's no like community structure for that.
Totally.
Or if there is, it's like very small and, you know, hard to find, hard to make, hard to maintain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Costly. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about finding and attracting love. We've talked a little bit about maintenance. Oh, Melissa, you did mention one thing that maybe would have gone earlier in the sequence that I'm curious about. What was the word you used for cosmetic magic?
Oh, glamoury.
Glamoury.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so curious about this.
Yeah, we had our coffee conversation about sort of the history of attraction magic, and there's plenty of different schools of thought on that, plenty of different like avenues to choose. But one of them that I like quite a bit is the American folk magic perspective, where a lot of this attraction, like practical witchcraft, came out of sex workers in the American South. And sort of like the sex tourism of the coastal South. And there's a lot of like practical things you can do to find people who are giving you exactly the kind of love that you want. One of my favorite ones, which, because it's so long and storied, I couldn't possibly go into it. So just one thing that I love is there's this one particular spell that you do where you dress the bottoms of your shoes. And I was thinking about this, Kevin, when you mentioned the tarot meditations. Mm-hmm. There are people who will take the lover's card or a card associated with whatever they're trying to do and stick it on the bottom of their shoe and then dress their shoes with, like, there's one particular oil from the American South called Follow Me Boy, in which people will actually follow you. And I test ran a recipe of it once at a bar, I think the Cobra Club over on Wyckoff. Uh-huh. And I did my whole shoe bit, walked on over, and five of my ex-boyfriends, some who don't even live in New York, showed up.
Five?
Yeah. And I was like, this blend of oil is apparently very nostalgic. And it's just my exes. It wasn't anybody new. And I was just I'm going to go home. This is weird.
That's insane. I need to try some of that.
No, I think I threw it down a Subway thing. I was like, I don't want this ever again.
Did you mix it?
Yeah, careful who you're attracting.
Yeah, I don't know what that blend was, but...
I'm someone who post breakup, newly free and single, I'm like, what about this ex-boyfriend from 8 years ago? That's my instinct. And then I'm like, no, come on, Asha, don't do it. Don't do that. You are listening to What Is Love on Radio Free Brooklyn. Next thing that I want to talk about is witchy weddings.
Oh.
Melissa's planning a witchy wedding of her own, and I'm curious about, I guess, your guys' views on rituals for both weddings or other ways to sort of consecrate love. What are some rituals or accoutrements that you enjoy?
So for my wedding, we're still really trying to hammer out what the ceremony is going to look like. There's a lot of fun, new agey, pour sand into a cup together, things that we really hate and never want to do. So we're still trying to sort of hammer that out. We've got my business partner, Fred Jennings, who's officiating for us. So we have a close friend witch who's gonna help us figure that out.
Friend witch.
Yeah. A lot of the things that I'm doing to sort of prepare for the wedding is just things to sort of prepare me, my spirit, my mind for marriage. Because it's really a huge transformation that's going to be taking place as a couple, for us going from two separate people who've agreed to do this thing to one unit that's actually doing marriage together.
Yeah.
So I'm using my whole, I've got a 12 person bridal party.
Nice. And, popular.
Classic Gemini.
Good number.
And yeah. We're going to be doing a lot of magic together to sort of prepare me for that. So that's what I have on the plate right now.
Is a safe space to communicate fantasies and passions.
Having a moment of technical difficulty.
What happened to purity ring?
we're back on the ad. So our sponsor for What Is Love is Fantasy App. And by accident, you're listening to their ad for a second time. So let's just wait until that's over.
Got it.
What is love radio? And an accidental third time. Fantasy App, you're getting all the airplay today. And we're back with our backing track. So you're mostly concentrating your magical efforts with your coven, your bridal party.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot of that magic happening before the wedding, during, after?
It's going to be, my bridal shower is going to be one large ritual with both my bridal party and then sort of all my lady friends, people who are into witchcraft and people who are sort of just curious about it or maybe not interested at all. And I think we're putting a lot of energy into making sure that all of our decorations and preparation for the spaces that our wedding is going to take place in are dressed and that everything's done very intentionally to sort of bring that prepared energy to our wedding and to our ceremony.
That's great. Do you have anything special you'll do to yourself, to your dress, your physical body?
Nothing to the dress because I'm too afraid of ruining it. But I'm going to be making talismans out of pretty much all my wedding jewelry. It's pretty much just standard jewelry that, you wouldn't be able to tell this is a witchy piece. But
Right. Even
my engagement ring that I had him pick out had stones that are appropriate for the thing that we're doing.
Cool.
Yeah.
We touched on crystals. Are they not crystals, the stones? Or are they?
Yeah. So I've got two opals and a moonstone. Not a lot of the work that I do is crystal based. I'm not really a hold the crystal, feel the vibes kind of person. But I will use what I have on hand to form talismanic objects.
Right.
And crystals are nice because they're rocks. They're not going anywhere.
it's earth magic.
Yeah, it is earth magic.
That's one thing I like about crystals too. It is representative of just the earth element in anything, whether you believe, I'm wearing something now, but whether you believe you feel the vibes or not, it is connecting you to earth, and I think having, for me, in readings or whatever, having acknowledgement of elements What's that?
A little closer
to me. Here we go. Hello. having the elements present in all your workings is important. So, you know, having, jewelry is, you know, with stones in it is earth, you know, and having, you know, water present, and, you know, making sure you're connected to each of those elements.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I want to go
and
back
food.
To the, yeah, I was just
always,
gonna
food. Always with food.
What's the wedding
herb
food?
Herb witch and food witch. Tell me.
We're what? Having, we're tossing around between two caterers right now, but they're both friends of ours.
Okay.
So we're going to, I don't know, we don't have.
You're a
food
witch too, though.
I am, yeah.
Both food witches?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm teaching
I'm a food wizard, really.
Sorry, my bad. Not to misgender.
I'm teaching a kitchen witchcraft class next Thursday, actually.
At Catland, great
yeah.
plug.
No,
love it. Everyone go to Melissa's food witch class.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Well, actually, you know what? As far as kitchen witchcraft for the wedding goes, we are going to be making my wedding cake all together. The woman who taught me how to be a pastry chef is flying up from Kansas City to help us make the wedding cake together, like me and my whole bridal party. So like too many cooks in the kitchen for sure. but we're going to be making the cake all together.
That's so lovely.
Yeah.
Are there any herb witch elements to your wedding?
We're going to be making a lot of like ritual floor washes for the ceremony space. We're going to be doing a lot of ritual baths for both the bridal party and me. We're going to be blending incense blends for our ceremony reception place and our reception location that are sort of a little different. I think that the one for the ceremony is going to be a little bit more solemn and a little bit more like romantic. And I think for the reception, it's going to be like, let's get lit.
Lit herbs.
Lit herbs.
Well, spirits.
Yeah.
You know, alcohol magic.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, you got to be careful with it, but it is called spirits for a reason, you know.
Absolutely.
It gets you there.
Yeah, I thought about that. Kevin, what about you? Tell me some of your favorite food magic rituals or what, maybe one that is apropos to our topic of love.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I'm not really like a big like ritual kind of guy that I'm more on like the everyday kind of thing. And like, so like I'm just making a meal for somebody else is magic. That is love magic. And that's as me as being like an acts of service kind of person who loves to impress somebody with cooking. That works for me. I mean, talk about love magic. I mean, it works. Yeah. Well, you got to make sure the person you're cooking for is also as into food as you are.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than like you're so proud of a meal and someone's like, cool.
It's good. But I don't really like mushrooms.
Or really picky eater. Oh geez.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Or just someone who's like all food's the same, just whatever. Food's just the thing
honestly,
that keeps me going.
Food
I can't deal
should
with those
be
people.
A sixth love language because that can
yes.
be such
right,
an
right,
we should
right.
contact the love language people, guys.
Yeah, gotta add a new
we
one.
Have an agenda.
Food would be the number one, probably.
Yeah, it really is a huge deal, and it has so much to do with the way you were raised. I like.
Oh man,
cultural
for sure.
Thing.
I mean, that's how I was raised. You know, like if there's a problem, oh cookies.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, totally.
anything can be solved with my mom's baking. You know, basically.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of. I mean, that's what I took from it. You know, I'm not a huge baker. I like to do meals more, but like, there's definitely you know foods that are more love related than others. You know, than like, you know oysters, of course.
Right.
But like, if I was trying to like impress somebody, especially if I wanted to like be physical with them after the meal, I wouldn't make like a giant pasta dish or something or like, you know, like enchiladas or something where it's going to be like, you know, obviously really heavy, you know, you want something that's light and, you know, using thing, you know, like we just had a class on, it was called Tarot Every Which Way with, this teacher, Lilith Dorsey, who wrote a book on
love
magic.
Yeah.
She's amazing. And she made these dishes that, you know, inspired by tarot cards. And so, you know, there's, you know, a pomegranate high priestess dish, you know, she used pomegranate seeds in a salad dressing or something, or, what'd she do? The fool's deviled eggs, which I thought was kind of, I kind of forget how they related to that. It was something about the egg, you know, being like a magical symbol. But I mean, there's like definitely plants in the, you know, in the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot that, you can use. You can make like a wheat based, you know, or corn, whatever you interpret it as for the Empress, you know, just something grain based is very like Empress, Earth goddess foods.
Yeah,
cool.
There's a history of doing like making an elaborate bread as a spell, where you would incorporate herbs and everything into like yeasted bread or like any kind of flavoring that you were supposed to do. You might braid it into a sigil that was appropriate for what you're trying to do. And then it sort of like needs to rise and fall and rise again and like be incubated in the oven for a long time.
The whole ritual of making bread is a ritual. I mean, that is like maybe one of my favoriteest things, you know, food magic kind of things to do, because like when you need bread, when you need dough, there's no better meditation than that. I mean, it's physical. You know you're going to eat something later. You're like putting, like, it's your hands. I mean, if you're like a Reiki person, oh my God, like you're like putting all that energy into your dough and like really like tending it. I used to do that all the time. And I would like consider like everything I did from when the bread was rising to it was done as part of the performance, you know, or the spell. I mean, I went to school for performance art, so you know, anything you did in the ritual or art space, same thing, kind of, you know, would be part of that,
right?
Mm-hmm. So anything you intentions you put into the bread, it's very similar, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about
last night we got to have Lon Milo Duquette come out to Catland, which was fun, and after his talk we went to Cafe Vivaldi and got to hear him play some of his songs, and one of the ones that he did was describing the secrets that hold his marriage together, and in one of the songs he said like, don't let her worry her pretty little head, just like be cool and give her all the bread.
Yeah.
And I think he was talking about money, but before I realized that, I was just like, I feel so seen. Like,
I'm pretty sure he meant bread.
I'm pretty sure he's talking about actual bread. Yeah. Like, yes, don't let me worry. Give me all the bread.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So you just very beautifully described that ritual. When would be a good time? What kind of energy is good to put into that ritual? Is it a good...
In making bread?
Yeah. Like, is it a good thing for... Is it a good thing to do when you're, like, ending a chapter? Is it a good thing to do when you're just feeling stressed? Is it a good thing to do when you have a lot of positive energy? What energy makes the best bread?
I think celebratory.
Celebratory.
Yeah, because you're going to sit down to, like, a big feast. Oh, sorry. I feel like a breakup bread would be, like, really gross.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, giving someone a loaf of bread and being like, I never want to see you again.
I'd be like, thank you, and throw it in the trash. Like, what's in this bread?
Like, I might get poisoned by super negative breakup energy.
Well, I mean, like, there's so much, like, unknowns that go into bread because yeast is a living thing. And, like, you know, sometimes your yeast just doesn't work. Hmm. And, you know, when your yeast is really... working and it's alive and active, you know, I think it's like that's the energy of your bread, you know. Then and maybe, you know, you could think this way, if like a breakup bread, like maybe you just won't rise that good and it'd be kind of like dense and sticky.
Ooh,
and like,
yeah,
you know. But if you're like putting in the intention of like, I'm gonna celebrate and expand, you know, like put your expansive, you know, Jupiter energy in there.
Your Jupiter energy.
So like breakup pita, marriage sourdough.
Right.
That's how this goes.
It's like,
we're gonna write a cookbook,
Hill.
Guys.
Yeah.
Just like unsalted flatbread.
Yeah.
Like, just want to like
Hill
punish
unsalted
yourself.
Flatbread. Fuck the pita. Marry the
sourdough. Yes. Oh my God.
I'd marry a sourdough. Cool. Probably.
I'd marry a sourdough tomorrow.
There's something so sad about like a dense bread, like you'll eat it, like a bagel, for example. Like you'll eat
it,
but you're kind of doing something mean to yourself if you're eating a not fluffy bread. You're kind of
like a Montreal bagel, though.
Yeah,
that's dense.
That is
that's
really
bread.
Good.
What's a fluffy bread? Like focaccia is really fluffy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Am I out of my mind?
It's pretty fluffy.
Focaccia is my
favorite like that,
bread.
That's like a sexy bread.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if I'm trying to seduce someone.
Yeah.
So fuck the focaccia.
Yeah.
Marry the sourdough, kill the pita.
Totally.
That's where we're at. Okay.
Can I interject for a second?
Sorry, pita
my
lovers.
Asha. My name's Asha. If I made someone a focaccia bread.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Asha.
Oh my God.
Super seductive. Which brings me to the next thing I want to talk about. So I've mentioned this now, right? I went through a breakup about a month ago, and I'm really just looking for all manner of ways to clear the old energy from my life and introduce new energy. Change of scenery has helped. I had to move out of Bushwick to do that. And I'm interested in some witchy ways, some rituals, or just some ways of thinking, divination. What should I look toward to do that, to close out the old and bring in the new?
Gotta cut the cord.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole manner of cord cutting spells and rituals you can do that are, they can be very simple. or as elaborate as you want them to be. You know, you could. I don't know how totally comfortable I am telling all these things, but I would just say look into cord cutting spells.
Okay.
Also, something that's more like practical magic, make new memories out of your old ones. Like, if there's a thing that you guys did together or a place you visited a lot, that is kind of like, you think about it and it triggers you and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can go there anymore.
Yeah.
Go there again, like on your own. And make it your own and just make new memories out of the old ones. I think that's probably like a good one to do.
Yeah, that's very sound advice.
Because otherwise you're like, oh, I can't go there anymore. And you're like, well, that place is awesome. I want to go there. You know, like, I don't know, that section of the beach is actually really nice. That's why we went there in the first place. Like, let's and just kind of, I'd say I recommend going there alone and making your own memory out of that space and kind of like clear that memory. But what else can you do?
That's really sound advice, because if you want to have a fully open life experience, you know, you think of cord cutting and you're like, all right, I need to close myself up from this energy and like open myself up to every other kind of energy, every other source of energy. But depends on, you don't want to close off everything. Like,
no.
You need to reappropriate and try not to cordon off this entire section of your life.
Totally, because you break up with the next person, you're like, oh, yeah. I can't go there now.
Yeah, you're suddenly like, you're in a cave.
So suddenly, yeah, you can't really go anywhere.
Suddenly you're just like remotely in a cave, like,
oh my God,
on your cell phone. Do you have any tips, Melissa?
Yeah, for this kind of thing, I really like ritual baths and ritual bathing.
Yes.
I think that, so water is very tied to sort of emotional energy, and I think that if you're, one of the sort of the traditional ways to do a ritual bath is you would brew a bunch of herbs or salts or whatever it is you're trying to use, and do sort of like a pour over style bath. It's like a baptism kind of thing.
Yeah.
But as it washes over you, it sort of like takes everything off of you. And then you're supposed to air dry after you do something like that, and then sort of keep the residue, is not a sexy word, but like the aroma, I guess, on you throughout the day, so that you walk in that energy where you go. Does that make sense? You're able to sort of bring it with you. Yeah.
I like that you gave us the pour over tip, because lots of people in New York don't have a bathtub. I'm curious. How do you ritual bathe without a bathtub? And you answered that question.
We talk about that at the shop a lot. And everyone's like, but no one, I can't do it.
Just get a big bucket.
Yeah. All you need is a bucket.
Bucket in the shower. Yeah. Heard it here first.
Or if you're a roof, maybe you could.
Oh, right. Ooh, that'd be fun.
Although, I don't know. How you just be comfortable.
Bring your bucket to the beach. That an option?
That'd be nice, actually. Salt, because especially because salt is so associated with cleansing. That'd be dope.
You have some reservations
about what?
You look like you don't
recommend. No, that sounds like a good idea.
Cool.
No, I mean, ocean water is the sea is the best,
right?
Absolutely.
For cleansing all manners of things. Yeah,
just don't like pollute the ocean. We said that.
Disclaimer, don't pollute the ocean.
But you know, I'd say pouring like ritual oils into the ocean is probably better than like
Sunscreen.
Other things, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say like oil and like horrible chemicals, but you know.
Depending on
like,
your ritual, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Like,
it's like if you pee in the ocean, you might be peeing into somebody's ritual bath right next to you.
You're, yeah. You're
probably
just
not going
to
kill
it.
Anything. You're adding.
Just adding to it. Maybe you'll fall in love with them then. Oh, my
oh,
God.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't discount it.
Here's the plan.
Non-consensual pee magic.
We do not recommend non-consensual pee magic here on Radio Free Brooklyn. This escalated quickly.
This turn.
Sorry, guys.
We only have a few more minutes left, but I wanted to touch on sex magic.
Yeah.
So what are some, like, I was telling Melissa before the show, I feel like there's this separateness in my personal head, in my life, of sort of like relationship sex and new person, new partner, new experience sex. And I don't know that distinction is super helpful for me. That's something I want to work through. But I'm curious, what should I look up? What route should I take if I want to introduce some magic to the latter? If I want to make my sex life more fun and interesting and good for me as a newly single person?
Well, I still like that idea of the ritual washing of things. Like I said earlier, like we wash all of our bed sheets at home in like a particular herbal thing. And that makes it like our not just like our romance place, but like also our sex place. But I was talking to someone recently who told me about washing all of your sex toys in like a ritual herbal wash that's like safe for use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And so that way that like even when you're just home alone by yourself, you're engaging in sex magic and you're making sure that that is like a safe ritualized place for you to like explore yourself or I mean like, hey, with others. Like,
yeah,
I like that. Yeah. I was going to say start with yourself. I mean, if you're looking to make your sex life better, you know, people don't really take enough time with themselves. I mean, shit, I don't really either, you know, a lot, you know,
it can be
hard to, but
I mean, take too much time.
Taking that time for yourself, you know, to like connect with your own pleasure, your own orgasm and making that sacred space for yourself. It's like what we're saying in the very beginning of the show. It's like you work in and then out first. Mm-hmm. And then the more comfortable you are with your own pleasure, you bring that to somebody else. And even if someone doesn't quite know your body right away, you know, if you know your body, you can direct them and seeing how well they take direction.
Yeah.
I feel like that's such a safe and healthy way to think about approaching love and love magic, to work inward first and to work inward and then outward. I feel like so many people hear love magic and they hear, you know, all these like practical things you can do. And they were like,
do that to somebody.
I'm going to impress my will upon another person. And like, not only is that like clunky and like morally hazy, it's also like a lot harder to do. I think you're going to be much more successful if you view it the other way. And it just seems so much healthier.
What's that phrase? Like anything gained by manipulation takes unending manipulation to keep. So it's like if you're doing that to somebody, it's like you have to constantly do that. But if you're just like working from your own self, your own truth, you know, you don't have to like really do much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all work still, but you know, still.
Totally path of least resistance. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the maintenance thing. If you can, you can enact your will, but that's the easy part. Like, you just maintaining that enacted will on someone sounds like the hard part. I want to share before we wrap up a thought that I had earlier in the hour. When you defined magic, and sort of when you were defining love, I don't know. I just had the thought that the best kinds of love are magic, in that they're
love is magic.
Yeah, love is magic. They're kind of
magic
like
is love.
This unseen force in your life that changes you for the better. And that's magic, right?
Totally. Aww. Absolutely.
I think Sasha would be pleased with how we're wrapping up the show on that note. Sasha's all about love and the power of love. And I hope that she's happy with what happened here in her absence. I would be remiss to not mention that we are live here in Bushwick from the studios of Radio Free Brooklyn. Radio Free Brooklyn is a community-supported nonprofit entity and totally thrives based on the patronage of the community. So if you can go to the website, radiofreebrooklyn.org, and check out how to support, that would be much appreciated. What else, guys? Any last words?
No, I think this is great. I feel like we've got a lot done. Discussing in particular the ways that, like, you know, divination, magic, and sort of, like, philosophical, psychological understandings of love. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that for me, what I've been always trying to focus on is do everything you do with love. Do every tarot reading with love, and do all your service, you know, with love. And you can use making sure there's that element present in anything you do.
Beautiful. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. Really appreciate it. Gonna walk out the door with lots of great tips, with a renewed sense of connection to love. I'm excited about it now. So thanks. This has been What is Love, and we'll be back on next week with Sasha Sugar. See you guys then.